Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of 5 2 Sports. Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Football Scout 365 host, Woody Massey, and I'm here for the Mellywood Show. We're all hoops all the time over here. This is a little bit more chilled back than Football Scout 365, but over here it's all about the culture, the basketball, the music, the lifestyle. We're all about it over here. And I'm here with Coach Mel Taylor. How you doing, Coach?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, Woody, man. I miss you so much.
I know, I miss you
too. So much happened. So much has happened.
Right? We actually did a playoff preview show, but due to technical difficulties and me pretending to be an adult sometimes, it's not going to see the light of day. So we're going to hop 2 games in.
Oh, 2 games in, man. And honestly, you know, because like I said, a lot of things happen. You know, I'm having a kid.
I know.
That's awesome, having a son.
You're having a son.
That is insane. I'm so excited, though, man.
I know.
Somebody to talk basketball with all the time.
All the time. How? What age is the goal to have him crossing people up?
About like 1.5, 2, 18 months.
Ooh, on the mini rim?
On the mini rim.
You're going to get to feel like Shaq.
Oh, yeah, it'll be Shaq. Nah, man, it's going to be LeBron. It's going to be cross over and just be... Just dunking on everybody. But all honesty, man, I'm just so excited. But I'm more excited to talk hoops with you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm more
happy
excited
for it, too. I'm getting married. So there's more than that, too. Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
The boy's off the market. So
off the market.
Stop sending me your titties.
The big old titties. Stop sending them.
Let's get into it though. Let's hop right into it. Let's briefly talk the play-in tournament and then we're going to dive to what's going on. We're going to have one segment and then we're going to dive what's going on into the playoff series. So in the play-in tournament, I was pretty on.
Yes. Yeah, you're on point.
Yeah.
Yeah, not me. So Matt props to you.
I think I went undefeated in the first round.
You did.
And then I think I was dumb and I picked Charlotte over Atlanta.
You weren't dumb. You just had too much faith, but you got to remember, it's a Michael Jordan-led franchise.
Yeah, and Melo, as much as I think he's the second coming of, like, Magic and Kobe combined.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's just a kid, man. He's only 20. He definitely is. That's a great comparison. He definitely is like Magic and Kobe had a child.
Yeah, right? Really is. Really is.
Because, all he do is play ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all he does.
All he does. People forget he just left high school.
Yeah, I loved it.
He's like somebody's grandpa. I was like, I couldn't go to school. I just had to start playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You were the one who posted that video of him smoking a blunt, right?
Loved it.
Like right before the game?
Right before the game. Loved it. I mean, that's a rumor. That was a rumor report. You know what I'm saying? That's more of a thing that's out there on the Twitter sphere, but from what I understand, and that seems on brand for him. It's not like, oh, I don't believe that. No, I can see him right before a game lighting up a blunt. If you watch the game, he was smiling a lot.
Yeah. Well, I remember back in the day during one of the Spurs finals, that first one where Steven Jackson became like a big member of the Spurs, helped them
loved
win that
it.
Title.
I loved it. 03.
I remember the announcers were talking about how Steven Jackson was hanging out a lot with the coach's son or somebody's son. And looking back on it now, knowing all we know about Steven Jackson, I'd really like to know how that kid turned out.
Absolutely.
Like, was he smoking up Pop Jr.?
First of all, from what I understand, well, you know that Steven Jackson doesn't smoke anymore.
Anymore, but back in the day.
No. But that's what I'm about to say. Back in the day, he lit that thing up.
He said he was smoking before every game.
See, but I don't get the Snoop vibe from him. Like, you know, you got guys with the Snoop kind of vibe who are like, whoever they're around, they're going to smoke with me. I feel like Steven Jackson's kind of stingy.
Yeah, he smoked alone. That makes sense. Yeah
that's what he looks like.
For sure. Any thoughts from the play-in? I mean, I think we saw the Cavs season away next year. Sky's the limit. Really would love to see what Colin Sexton does as a six-man, because that's what he'll be to that team if he comes back and approve a deal.
Oh, they got to trade him.
You think so?
Have to trade him. Because he's too good to come off the bench and be what they need, because he's a starter in the NBA. Yeah, Colin Sexton's a starter.
No, that's true.
Now, if he wants to stay there and win the championship, then yeah, sure. What do you like? Yeah, I'll agree. Him coming off the bench to kind of spell Darius Garland, awesome. But there, in my humble opinion, because I was actually very high on the Cavs, but while watching them, I'm just like, oh, they need another star.
Mm.
And Darius is more of a three in my
now. Evan Mobley may take that leap next year.
No, he's the one. That's my guesstimation.
Yeah. No,
like, regardless, he's one of the stars. He, on any team, he's a one or a two on any team.
Are you going back at the draft? You got Scottie Barnes, you got Evan Mobley, you got Cade Cunningham. Who are you taking up one overall?
If I go right now, you know, 2020 hindsight, I think I told you before, I'm taking Evan Mobley. Respectfully for Cade Cunningham.
And respectfully Cade, to Scott. Cade really, yeah, Scotty Barnes, he had the best season really of all of them.
And even though I said that response very quickly, it's a very hard question.
It is. It is. This turned into a great draft. Great.
Because even after I said Evan Mobley, I was thinking, oh, Cade Cunningham just does everything. He seems like a LeBron disciple.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. Green from the Rockets, any other year would be easily Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
Any other year. He's not even in the top five this year.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's wild. You got these dudes immediately producing. I personally lucked out the other day. I bought a couple of packs of basketball cards because GameStop sells basketball cards now for some reason.
Yeah, you showed me that.
Yeah, that's and I awesome. Pulled a Cade Cunningham rookie out the pack. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Jackpot, baby. Let's do that.
Yeah, man. That's a real jackpot because I really think that Detroit in general is like one star away from being like a top four seed.
Jabari might be the one for that.
Also, I feel they're a coach away too. I think it's time for Dwayne Casey to hang up his, you know, all due respect, respectfully. He needs to, that franchise needs another direction.
Yeah, that's true. So Cavs are one way. I was all over this young Timberwolves team. You know, I've
you been was. About it. It was all season long. I believe I was wrong all the way. I think I did. Did I pick the Clippers or did I pick Timberwolves? I think I picked Timberwolves. I picked the Clippers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked the Clippers. And again,
unfortunate Paul George did get COVID.
Yeah, Paul George got COVID. Also, I was very low on Cat. You know, yeah. I think he's all due respect, I think he's kind of a bitch. Respectfully.
The 50-year-old, 20-year-old looking man.
Yeah, man. He gives me a lot of Patrick Ewing vibes.
He's got a weird body like Patrick Ewing, that's for sure.
Yeah, respectfully. Like, great offensive player, but seems to get soft and curls up in times when the team needs him most. And again, he kind of, like, did that in the play-in. If it wasn't for, like, Anthony Edwards and Patrick Beverly kind of leading his team, they would have lost.
It's true.
So,
hey, don't take that win away from Pat Bev.
Nah. Don't do that.
Play him that Logic song. 1-800, whatever.
Oh. First of all, I'm laughing at the Logic reference.
Did you see Logic and Wiz Khalifa going out on tour? I was like, okay, 2009.
And what's so funny about that? I would go.
Yeah, I know you would.
I would go. Now, I'm not a Logic fan like that. However, I am a Childish Gambino fan, and I am a nostalgic Wiz fan, and sometimes I hope that he'll come back to that, you know, orange juice and Cushion OJ vibe. And I'm mad because it turns out, I think we kind of realized that album was an anomaly. It was just an album.
That wasn't his sound. That was just the sound of that album.
Yeah, he just wanted to try something different. That wasn't what he really was. And yeah. I think, and even back, remember we used to have our conversations, and I know we're going away from basketball, but remember we talked about what Big Sean and him first came out, mm-hmm. and I was more of a Wiz guy. Yeah, I believe I was you're a big
Sean. No.
We're both Wiz guys.
I did not like Big Sean's early stuff.
But shout out to Tracy. Tracy's a Big Sean guy. Yeah. He kept saying Big Sean was better than Wiz Khalifa. That was when the Lemonade Freestyle came out.
Oh, for sure.
And all that stuff, man. A little nostalgia for those listening. But shout out to Wiz Khalifa.
You know, yeah, really, really went way beyond whatever the hell I thought he could be.
Yeah, now he's like an MMA fighter. He's like stocking.
Running around in his man panties every day.
Yeah, man. Looking like a Velociraptor. No, not Velociraptor. Of a raptor. Like an actual raptor. Bless his heart. But let's not get too far away from things. Yeah. Please bring us back, Wood.
All right, so closing out the play-in tournament. Nothing was really else surprising outside of that. Trey had an amazing game.
I told you.
You did, but it's okay. When we get to the regular playoffs, we'll talk Trey some more.
We can talk Trey.
We will.
You know what I'm saying? Because
I think it's more a testament to what the Heat are doing, but we'll talk about it. And then
what the refs are doing.
Yeah, and then of course Brooklyn. Excuse me. We knew what they were going to do. We knew they were going to get in there. Struggling against Boston. We're going to talk about that more. But before we get to the actual play.
And I call that, though. I want props for that.
Call Boston? Yeah. No. You did for sure. And so did I. Yeah. I think we both were Boston.
Yeah. A lot of people. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. Okay. So before we get to the playoffs. So if you're on... online, there's a lot of basketball memes, a lot of basketball meme pages, and sometimes they come up with some interesting stuff. And so we got a list here today of the tiers of shooting guards, the all-time great shooting guards. And it goes all the way tiers 1 through tier 6. And we're actually going to share it on the screen. We're going to clip this into a video, hopefully. All right, so it's up on the screen. So starting in tier 1 for you audiophiles, we got Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Tier 2, we got Dwayne Wade, Allen Iverson, James Harden. Tier 3, we have Ray Allen, Clyde Drexler, Reggie Miller, Pete Maravich, George Irvin. Tier 4, we got Manu, DeRozan, Clay, Vince Carter, Mitch Richmond, Tracy McGrady. Tier 4, got Sam Jones, Earl Monroe, Brandon Roy, Joe Dumars, Jamal Crawford, Bradley Beal, Joe Johnson. It's so disrespectful to see Jamal Crawford and Joe Johnson on the same tier. It's just like opposite career. I'm sorry. And then we got tier 6, Lewis Williams, Devin Booker, Michael Cooper, Zach LaVine, Byron Scott, Devin Mitchell, Petrovic and CJ McCollum.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, Petrovic, which I love.
Oh my goodness.
I love that one. I love CJ McCollum. So before you continue, let's just get this out the way now. I think this entire tier is horrible. It's shit. It's horrible. It's terrible.
I don't think it's that bad, man. I really don't. I think they put a lot of thought into this. And
they really did. And that's why it's even more terrible.
I'd like to start at the top.
Yeah,
this is going to be a little controversial, but I think Dwayne Wade should be in tier 1.
Yes, I think when you talk about the best shooting guards of all time, I agree with you, that we agree on this part. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, all three of them on the same tier.
It was a shorter career. It was a shorter career, but he is one of the most physical specimens we'll ever see at the shooting guard position.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no disagreement there. I agree with you.
With the Young Championship and then the two with LeBron.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the one by himself.
It wasn't by himself. Yeah. Shaq still was in his last good year.
That finals, he was by himself. Like, in the finals, though.
That's true.
Like, the finals, he was by himself. But, yeah, you're right. Like, Shaq
he did shoot a historic amount of free throws.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that was back with the whole, you know, fall down 7, get up 8?
Yep.
Remember that whole commercial moment? So, yo, yeah, 1,000%. That was one of the problems I had, so I'm happy you addressed it. I had a huge problem with Dwayne Wade not being in tier 1.
Yeah. I get why James Harden's in tier 2.
Absolutely. Why? What? Yes.
Because he doesn't play defense, and he's by far the worst defender out of the top five, maybe the top three tiers. And he hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Never put the team on his back, really.
Yeah, and that's why he's tier two.
Yeah, with his stats. I would say tier three, unless Absolutely. He does something this year.
Absolutely not. Because, again, who are you going to have? And, again, let's get this to the point. My tier two, actually, I would raise Ray Allen up there.
I was thinking Ray.
Yes, Ray Allen is in my second tier. Because, remember, we're raising Dwayne Wade, so we got to, like, you know, even out the second tier.
Yeah, Ray would move into the second tier if we raised Dwayne.
Yeah, it was either Ray for me or Tracy McGrady.
Tracy should be in tier three. For sure.
Being tier three. Yeah, yeah. So I'll say Ray Allen in tier two, and that's because Ray Allen has three rings.
And honestly, I know that he wasn't the most consistent guy ever, but just with how much he did in the playoffs and on a dynasty, Manu Ginobili should be in tier three to me.
Yeah, you're skipping ahead. I was going to get there. I think him being in tier four next to – him being next to DeRozan is one of the most disrespectful things ever seen. Like, it's so stupid. And also just seeing Reggie Miller above Klay Thompson, ridiculous. Seeing even – well, Clyde Drexler did get a ring, so let's be respectful to Clyde Drexler from that perspective. But I think
Clyde Drexler belongs up there, Clyde the Glide, because that was right before the NBA really crossed over into, like, video and – it was more like visual, you know what I mean? We caught the end of Clyde on video.
I have a big problem with Clyde Drexler. I don't think he's like that great.
He
can't go left. Yeah, I told you the whole story about Clyde. So him being above, he should be tier four.
I want to stop this slander on Reggie. Let's talk about Reggie for a second. Yes, some of his stats don't add up. You don't understand. Reggie was like the first dude in the 90s, it really carried a team as a shooter.
Okay.
Like, he created the lean on me, shoot threes. Like, I'm going to put up this shot. I don't need to take it to the basket. Like, it was more than just stats with Reggie.
Yeah. I can
Reggie always believed he was the best player on the court. No matter who he went up against.
How about this? How about Reggie can stay on tier three, but he cannot be above Klay Thompson? They should be on the same tier then. I can.
Klay's never done it on his own, though. That's why I say no.
He has three rings. He's like one of the geese. He's literally
never done it on his own, though. And he's gotten hurt.
But he's better than Reggie Miller. He's actually better than Reggie Miller.
You're right. I'll concede that. Klay should be up there with Reggie. Honestly, I think Vince should be in tier three too.
I think Vince is right.
We forget how amazing he was the first part of his career, and then you add the longevity on top of it. I just think there's something to be said to be able to play.
Because remember, you got to keep it even on each tier. How we're doing it, we're going to do three on one, four on two, and then five. We're going to keep it five on three.
Yeah, so I guess you have to leave him there, don't you?
Yeah. And then Mitch is going to stay there. I agree with that, but real talk.
I dropped Mitch one, honestly.
Like, what I'm saying is I would switch Klay Thompson with Clyde Drexler, and then because Ray Allen's going to the second tier, I would put Manu Ginobili on the third tier.
Yeah. No, I can agree. I can agree with that.
Well, let's just speed this up a little bit. I think Bradley Beal shouldn't be on it. I think
I think he should be on the tier six.
Bradley Beal?
Yeah. Skill-wise, one of the best shooting guards, for sure, that we've seen.
Because that goes to my next point about, you know,
and I think next year,
players.
You'll see Bradley Beal on another team making waves in the playoffs. So I'm speaking for the future, too.
I'm also saying, like, for instance, Zach got to come off because we have to put Vinny Johnson on. We got to put Hal Greer on. We got to put Steve Smith on. We have to put Latrell Sprewell on.
So I mean, take Lou.
Take Lou off.
I mean, as much as I love Coop, He's an iconic role player on some big teams.
No. Take him off. You don't gotta say shit. Oh yeah, you're a Lakers fan, so you gotta say something. I ain't say nothing. I ain't saying anything. Take him off. Byron Scott. You should leave Byron.
He was sick. If Manu was on this list,
Byron
Scott's gotta be on this list.
You're right. I agree. Donovan Mitchell has to stay.
He does.
And I like him more than Brad.
I'm souring on him a little bit, the way he's handling this whole Rudy thing. I hate the – I tell Mel with these young guys, I'm just – I hate the bitch-assness, bro.
But at the end of the day –
I got that Jimmy Butler radar.
Yeah, man. You know, Jimmy Butler has the greatest –
We'll talk about that.
Pinning that. But, yo, I actually agree with Donovan Mitchell. Because at the end of the day, like, that's your job. If you don't like who you work with
– It's true.
Like, I don't – and then again,
yeah. Rudy does seem like a different type
annoying.
Of guy. Annoying. Forever enshrined in my head is the day before COVID lockdowns and Rudy did the mic tap thing.
Yeah, and then caught COVID
and then gave it to Donovan Mitchell.
That's wild. I actually heard from a source. This is a real source. I already stunk. Like he smells.
Really?
Yeah, I heard he smells.
Huh. I've heard, French people don't shower like that, right?
Oh, I don't know, but I heard he don't smell good or smell that good at all.
Mm.
So
nothing worse than a big dude that don't smell good.
Yeah, that's a rumor. But let's be real, I've been around dudes that don't smell well playing ball, and it's like that does ruin your time. It's not fun.
No, it's not. It really isn't. Nothing worse than like going up with a dude and your face is in his armpit and it's just like he reeking the high heaven.
Yeah, I hate it.
How did Lou Williams make this list? Like, I know the NBA grew during his career and he had a much better second half, but to, like, put him on here for Steve Smith is insane.
No, like, it shows ignorance because if you putting Lou Will over Vinny Johnson on this list shows that you don't know nothing about the history of basketball, and it's quite disrespectful.
Yeah. No, that's real. And then who were the other guys? There were a couple guys that...
Yeah, man.
Eddie Jones. Yo, people.
Yeah.
Come on.
Eddie Jones
was on the young Laker team. He was bringing them back. They just happened to draft Kobe, who was right there up at the top next to Jordan. Like, it's just Eddie Jones was great. He was an all-star when he went to Charlotte. He was good on the Heat.
Everything that's you're saying is facts, man, which is proves my point that this is the worst
Rip Hamilton
list ever.
Rip Hamilton was the leading scorer on championship team.
Yeah. The greatest championship team with no 75
Latrell Sprewell. Latrell Sprewell was iconic. Literally choked a coach out. Was so good that he was able to come back from choking a coach out.
And everybody just forget about it.
Yeah, and he was on one of my favorite teams ever. That Knicks team, that run to the finals, was one of the most magical basketball experiences in my young adulthood. Even if it was a lockout season.
Also, this shows, in all due respect to Knicks fans, like it also shows like they love mediocrity. That's all I can say.
Brandon Roy shouldn't be on tier 5 either.
Yeah, Brandon Roy at best is on tier 6, and I even think that's being entirely too generous, especially when I just said Vinny Johnson's not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Ryder's not on the list.
Danny Ainge
isn't on the list.
Kyle Korver is on a lot of memorable teams.
He was on one of the best Hawks teams of all time, and he's actually a top 7, top 5. I can't... He's off the top of my head, 3-point shooter all the time. So
he's
I was thinking
five,
Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you put Petrovic on here, then you have to put Kyle Korver.
No, for real.
Yeah.
Jason Terry, long career.
Long career, got a championship.
Jason Richardson,
iconic. Great dunker.
One of the best dunkers ever. Turned into a good shooter. Probably would have had a more memorable end to his career if he wouldn't have knocked up Steve Nash's wife. What?
Yes, that's wild.
Right? You can even make the argument, Dan Majerle. He should be on there before Lou. He was on a champion.
Absolutely.
The championship.
That's not now. Lou Will is probably a top 5 6-man of all time.
Yeah.
So Dan Marley can't really boast anything close to that, except for maybe the championship thing.
I mean, he was an all-star. He averaged like 25 points a game.
He was an all-star?
Yeah, he was an all-star in the West. Right? Am I making this up?
Oh, no. We're gonna figure this out. Because actually, in my memory bank, he was not an all-star. But guess what? I could be wrong. This is going from my memory bank.
All right, so let's look.
Yeah, he's a three-time all-star. You're right. He's a three-time all-star.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty impressive. Lou Will wasn't close to that. Lou Will wasn't close to that, especially in the Michael Jordan 90s.
Like, he was the number two scorer on Charles Barkley's team. Let's be real.
Yeah. Also, let's just be real. This also crystallizes how the 90s were such shit.
It really does. Yo, you want J.J. Redick or Lou Will?
J.J. Redick.
Same.
He's more iconic, I feel. Yeah. Great three-point shooter. He was a real iconic player for those Clippers teams. He was a great – oh, you know, let's not forget the Magic team that he was on. That was a great team. So he's on two great franchises.
Jamal Crawford being tier five is weird to me too. Now, let me get this straight. If this was a one-on-one scoring competition, Jamal Crawford's up there with Allen Iverson and James Harden. Real talk. Like, if this is a one-on-one tournament. Mm-hmm. But – Jamal Crawford wasn't on a winner to the very end of his career.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable with him in tier six.
Tier six, 100%. We're talking moves, iconic scoring. Yeah, that's different. But if we're talking all around, tier six.
Absolutely. Yeah. Joe Dumars is appropriate.
Always underrated.
Yeah.
Just forever underrated.
I think Joe Johnson's appropriate.
I could make an argument for him for tier six. Three.
Oh, really? Joe Johnson, tier three?
Because he's hit so many game winners. Even if they're regular season, ISO Joe is a legend.
I was going to say tier four, definite argument, but I think he's the best one. Joe Dumars, Brandon Roy, T.Y. Earl Monroe is appropriate. Sam Jones is also appropriate.
Yeah.
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker
is a tier five.
He should be up in tier five now.
If Brandon Roy is tier five, Devin Booker is
above Brandon Roy, for sure.
Yeah, playing in a championship, come on, man.
100%. All right, we spent too much time on this already.
Entirely too much time, but this was fun.
This was fun. Let's talk about the playoffs, Mel. Let's talk about the playoffs. Playoffs!
Wrong playoffs.
Miami Heat and Atlanta Hawks. Oh, Mel! Oh, Mel! All season long, you just giving Trey's nice little pat on his bald ass and saying, good job, little man.
I'm still going to.
He goes against a real team, a real defensive team. Bro, they threw like eight different defensive looks at him last game. They got him all turned around. It's great coaching. It really is great coaching. I think it has more to do with the coaching rather than it does Trey Young.
Yeah, while I'm Trey, like real talk, like while I am all about Trey Young, I'm not an idiot. I understand that he is a number one seed for a reason, and they were in the play-in. It's for a reason. Like the Heat are significantly better than the Hawks. Like look at the Hawks. Like if you look at their starting lineup, they got Young, Hunter, Okongwu, Gallinari, and Herter. What kind of freaking lineup is that? It's just Trey Young. All I see is defensive liabilities everywhere with like three of their players.
Right?
So, yeah.
And let's be real. Trey didn't have a bad game, but he had a bad game from – actually, that's a lie. He did have a bad game.
No, game one was terrible. Game one was horrible.
Game two was pretty bad, too. He shot 10 for 20, but 2 for 10 from 3, and he turned the ball over 10 times.
They get physical with that. And the thing is, because of the new rules – and because it's now the playoffs, this is not good, and this is not good for Trey. He is getting pushed around. And the thing about him is he does things to get the call. That's his game. His game is to get the call.
Yeah.
That's not what the playoffs are about. So with any – like Trey hasn't really done anything wrong. If anything, he has really just exposed my flawed viewpoint. He really exposed me. He didn't really expose himself. He's pretty much the same person. The refs are doing a horrible job. Or a good job, depending on your viewpoint. But I think they're doing a horrible job at really, like, keeping... Actually, no, I'm lying. I think the refs are doing a good job. I just think Trey just can't play through it.
Honestly, that's... And this is his kryptonite. He's playing probably the most physical team in the East.
Yeah. And again, I don't think they're even fouling like that. Some things are foul. They do give him a little push in the air when he's doing a layup or whatever, or a floater. But it's not, and me being a former referee, like, it's nothing too crazy. He's just too light. And he flops too much trying to get calls.
There's something interesting to look at here, too. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler gets a team to the finals for a second time, even if they don't win. That's legacy talk right there. You're moving up. You're moving up a tier.
I mean, not just that, man. That's superstar talk. That's what. Even now, I still don't say he's a superstar.
I mean, last game, hard to argue those stats. 15-25, 4-7-3, 11-12 from the line.
Yeah.
5 rebounds, mm-hmm. 5 assists, 2 steals, plus 19, 45 points.
Oh, yeah, man. That sounds amazing. Great all-star. But I feel as though he's really trying to earn a superstar nod.
He's right on the edge of it. He never has been.
He's probably thinking to himself, like, yeah, y'all say Anthony Davis is an all-star, not me, or a superstar, not me. Why can't I be a superstar if y'all say Anthony Davis is a superstar?
And, like, real talk, we were talking about this the other day. Jimmy Butler, 100% win percentage on his bitch assness radar.
Yes.
As much noise as he's made every stop, the noise was right. Carl Anthony Towns, soft. Now he's finally playing a little tougher. Look, the Timberwolves are getting good again. Like Andrew Wiggins, he's a little soft. Goes the Warriors, gets a little better. Draymond gets under his skin. 76ers, Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Right?
Enough said.
Sat out a whole season to cry.
And did not play. Yeah. Amazing. It's amazing.
Imagine if they would have flipped Ben and kept Jimmy and Joel.
Ridiculous.
Think about that.
Yeah, my Sixers, the only thing worse than my Sixers are your Lakers.
Oh, that's cold.
And that's facts.
That's cold. You did that on purpose.
I did.
Do the Hawks win a game this series?
Yes. No. They'll take them to 5. It'll be a gentleman's sweep.
Maybe. But I don't think so.
I think Trey is going to get a 45er in Atlanta.
He's down, he's bound to get one. I don't know. Jimmy seems so dialed in, man.
He does.
Like, they got that win and Bam Adebayo had one of his worst games.
That's a sign of the championship team.
They're so deep, too.
That's the future of the NBA.
Depth,
because everybody's skilled.
Well, we are seeing Miami is the first team to, at an elite level, use their developmental league team.
Yeah.
We've seen Duncan Robinson off there having huge games in the playoffs again. We see who's the little dude they pulled this year? He's played mad time for them. Looking right now. I always forget his name. Gabe Vincent.
Oh, Gabe. Yeah.
Pulled him right off the developmental league, too.
Yeah, Gabe's been there for a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Gabe. He's really good.
Yeah. No, for sure. Another thing to talk about before we move on. The Sacramento Kings let Bogdanović walk for free. They could have matched that.
Yeah, they're idiots. But it's Sacramento. I'm not shocked. This is one of the franchises that...
Just the worst franchise. Hey, let's molest the mic a little bit more.
Yeah, man. I also feel It is like, this is me being serious. I think all sports franchises, all sports in general leagues should really do a better job of maybe training owners and training leadership.
Yeah.
I feel that they let them just cook and let them do what they want to do, which they should because they're all grown men. But I think like the NBA should try to reach out and try to educate them on how to truly build teams and build.
The NBA should hire Pat Riley to just run conferences on this is how you build a franchise and a culture.
Yeah.
Like Pat Riley, when it's all said and done, like Pop, greatest system creator of all time. I think he's the greatest coach of all time. But if we're talking about a basketball mind and how things should be brought together and ran, how people should carry themselves, like it's Pat Riley, hands down.
Yeah. I'm talking about culture and creating the tempo and how to – but he's well, too
there's
extreme. The next,
there's, he can be, but it gets results.
Well, there's no argument there.
Like the Heat have never been anything below like a 500 franchise.
Not just that. I think the individuals and the players and the men that they build, you know, it's not about basketball. It goes beyond that.
That's real.
You know, other teams, they kind of like freelance. And they kind of let the guys do what they want to do as long as they like, you know, I feel the Heat, they really concentrate on the man and what they do outside of basketball because they understand that that attitude and that man is who they're, who they are coaching and is who is playing for them. So they really concentrate on the man and really sharpening that man. So, yeah, I agree. Pat Riley. Even from back in the Laker times, like, he has built franchise. He builds men.
That's real.
One-on-one.
Let's talk Celtics and Brooklyn Nets. The Celtics were plus 360 to win this series, which was insane to me. My buddy texted me. You'll see him on the podcast actually next week. He told me he slammed a bunch of money down on the Celtics because let me check. They were minus 130.
Yeah.
They were barely favored to win this series, which is insane to me. Literally, like record setting defense the whole second half.
Yep.
Jason Tatum is a top seven at least NBA player right now. He has taken the next step. He is the number one player on that team. He is the leader on that team. My buddy is CJ. You've seen him on this podcast. He posted the other day on Facebook, and I didn't even realize it when it happened when I was watching the game. He blocked Kevin Durant's jump shot. I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah. He's a legit 6'9".
Yep.
6'9", 6'10". 6'9".
He's got some legit Kobe in him.
No, yeah. I've been, yeah. Everything you're saying, I co-sign. Everything you're saying, I agree with. Everything you're saying is the reason why I did pick them to win in six. However,
they might sneak a title here.
They could because defense wins championships. And I think their team's so complete. I think Marcus Smart is not stated enough how great of an on-ball defender he is.
Well, I think it is now. He is defensive player of the year.
Nah, they still don't. I feel like they still don't give him respect like that. I mean, yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, he deserved it, blah, blah, blah. But it's still just a shooting guard. I'm like, nah, this dude is a real difference maker on defense. He takes defense. He has the spirit of
Tony Allen. That smother.
Oh my God. You took the word right out of my mouth. He has the spirit of Tony Allen.
Yeah.
And that's what you need, man. So yeah.
Both Oklahoma State, right? Did they both go to Oklahoma State?
I gotta check. I know Marcus Smart did. I don't know where Tony Allen went. But just a co-sign on what you said, but they have a chance to win it all. But I think their coach is amazing. I think he's – coaching, man, is so understated. You know, well, I think coaching really makes a difference.
If they make a title run here, this is going to be looked at as one of the greatest front office moves of all time. Mm-hmm. For Brad Stevens to literally step down, step into a front office role, and then handpick this guy. This is the guy we need to make this team tough, take them the next step.
It makes sense, though.
It does. I think Stevens has gotten to a point where he's like, they need a player, a guy that's done it, to get in their face.
Or the fact that they stopped listening to you. He understood that.
Mm-hmm.
But he also knows his team and understands what that team needed to go over You know, it's almost equivalent to if Mark Jackson got to pick Steve Kerr and keep his job.
Oh, that's for real. The Celtics might be my favorite to come out of the East right now. They're looking that tasty. And also, I'd like to talk about the game one, because they're up 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
Second one, Kyrie, Kevin, terrible games. Absolutely just looked terrible.
Well, Kevin looked terrible the whole time. Nobody's even talking about that. Can I pause for a second and say this? And I think we talked off air about this, but I want to say this on air, is the fact that the response of the media in the world to the play of Kevin Durant and his inadequate play, in the fact, just solidifies how great, and the fact that, you know, LeBron James is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Because if this was LeBron James in the same exact situation, even in year 19, not year, what is it, 16, 15? Mm-hmm. Not even that, maybe. But even in year 19, LeBron had this team, he'll still be getting ridiculed for the way he's played. Because Kevin Durant's played like straight shit. And also say this, I know he's not played well, but it's also great coaching.
He played well in the first game.
You think he played well in the first game?
I mean, he didn't play bad.
Do you really think so? Think about Kevin Durant for a sec.
That was Kyrie's moment, though. I think, if anything, this bad play, it goes on his shoulders. Like, here's the thing. Kyrie, he was lights out first game. He was on a mission. He's telling everyone to suck his dick, like.
Yo, Kevin Durant went 9 for 24 in the first game. He had 6 turnovers the first game.
All right,
he only had 3 assists the first game. He only had 4 rebounds the first game. He only scored 23 points the first game. He shot 24 times, only scored 23 points.
For Kevin Durant, that's really bad.
But for a
D-split, that's not the worst game ever.
No, we're talking about for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
The greatest scorer of all time. That is his worst game of all time. He played like shit. If he would have had a half a decent game, Kevin Durant wise, they would have won by at least 10 the first game. The second game, yeah, he played a little bit better, but it still wasn't that great. He still wasn't the leading scorer on this team. Actually, I take it back. He played like shit. He played terrible. Last night.
Yeah. Oh, last night he played. Ooh.
He actually played worse than the first game. He went 4 for 17. He wouldn't even score 27 points if it wasn't for his 20 attempts at the free throw line.
Yeah, he was hitting those.
18 for 20. But again, only 4 rebounds. That's hard. Can't win.
The sign of a smart team, too, in that first game, when Kyrie, like, they knew Kyrie wanted to silence that whole stadium in that final shot.
Yep.
And they double teamed him because they knew he was coming down on a mission.
Yep. Yep.
And they froze him up. He tried to dish it off to Durant with 3 seconds left. And it worked.
Yep.
That's just smart play. And that's in the moment smart. And you need that to be a championship basketball team.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the Bulls and the Bucks. Melvin?
Surprising. Surprising series.
Last night, this became a series.
Yeah.
If Chris Middleton's out for a little while,
that's
here's the thing. Everyone always debating how valuable Chris Middleton is, how good of an all-star he is.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to see it. Not having Chris Middleton to dish the ball off to for Giannis and that defense so Giannis can kind of freelance, that's big. That's real big, man.
I'm so happy you brought this up. You know, first things first, like, yeah, that's a big blow, losing Chris Middleton. But I look at it more as an opportunity for Giannis to really show the world why he is the best player in the world.
Which I'm sure he's going to have some incredible.
You know, even last night, he had 33, 18, and 9. Like, 33, 18 rebounds and 9 assists, and everybody's not even – nobody's talking about it. He's elevated to that LeBron status of just like, oh, we expect this godly performance from you.
They're also not talking about it because DeMar DeRozan backed up his call. He said, I'm going to come out hot. I'm not the same player I was in Toronto in the playoffs.
Shout out to Pop.
Yeah, shout out to Pop. And he backed it up. Rarely do we see a guy say, I'm going to come out and be on fire. You know, he dropped 41 and they won.
Yeah, And that's what they say. They say it's never really a series until someone finally wins in the other person's court.
And they got a big game out of Vooch. That was huge. They need Vooch to score.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Vooch.
I know you do not like Vooch at all.
Yeah, but I'm not, and again, this may sound arrogant, but I'm really not worried, even though they did skill. I know you're probably like, oh, it was a real series. But let's be real. I really believe that the Bucks would just beat them in six, and that's just what it is.
I don't know, man. I'm on the fence. I'm going to go Bucks, but I really think they're going to miss Chris Middleton. If he misses, let's see how much time he's going to miss so far.
No, even without Chris Middleton, I'm very confident that Giannis will take this team out by himself. I also feel like with Chris Middleton leaving the game, that shell shocked the team. And that's how the Bulls were able to kind of like get that victory. Yeah. It was a pretty good game throughout.
He's day to day right now. So we'll see. We're still waiting on an update.
And to be honest, this may sound arrogant. I may be wrong. We'll see. But I just really believe that they should just like rest him for this series. And just let Giannis like put it on his back.
I don't know if they'll be able to.
For a second. I really think they can. Because I he can shut me up. I just don't see DeRozan doing that again.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's one where I'm eating a mouthful of humble pie. I believe I was leaning towards Toronto.
No, you did.
I did, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew you'd remember. Sixers.
Yeah,
I
need
to remember that. Joel, oof, man, he is
best center in the league.
Still, if I had to pick, I'm still taking Jokic.
It's being proven as we speak.
I'm taking Jokic, but he's like almost
if we switch Joel with Jokic on Denver, they would have got a win.
I'll tell you that 3-pointer he hit for the game winner. That's one of the most iconic center game winners we'll ever see.
The future, but also ever as in the past. Like, it's like never seen and we never see it again. We might see it from him again.
The fact that they went and snuck one without Thibault, too, in Toronto. That's huge. That's huge.
But again, man, I also feel like that play saved Doc's career in Philly, and I'm kind of pissed about it. Because everybody's making such a big deal about how he drew that play up.
What if Doc wins a second championship? What does that change his legacy?
One, to be honest, because he won it with Philly, he'll shut me up. I'll eat humble pie. I might even change my opinion slightly.
Doc's a good coach of superstars.
No.
Not a great coach, X's and O's, but he gets superstars. He gets them to their peak. He does.
He gets them to their peak. I'll take it a step further. I feel like he gets them to where they need to be as far as, like, he rests them. He don't practice them.
Yeah.
Very player friendly. So, but, yeah, you know me. I don't like Doc. Doc.
But, I think I'm eating it on the Sixers. I think the Sixers and Celtics, that's one of
that's
those
the comp. Yeah, that's the conference. That's the conference, right?
And Miami, honestly.
I
want to see what Miami does against another team because I feel like they match up incredibly well against Atlanta.
No, they're just overpowered. They're way better. They're a better team.
But I think that they match up really well against Atlanta, especially, though, too.
Because their best player is finesse to the fullest.
I'd like to see how they perform against Philly and Boston. That's what I'd like to see.
I would love to see him against Boston. Philly, I think they can – and again, I'm a Philly. You know me. I love my Philly. I love my Sixers, but I actually feel like they match up decently against the Sixers just because they can attack from multitude of ways. And I also feel like Maxey, he would not be doing what he's doing against the Miami Heat.
No.
Harden has to step up, but I don't have faith in Harden stepping up. It'll just be Joel against Miami, which I have faith in Joel, but Spoelstra is like I love him, man, as a coach. And, you know, I love coaching. I love cerebral people and the way he attacks teams and the way you can see, like, and honestly, if you really pay attention to basketball games, especially now with the education of basketball in general and NBA basketball specifically, you see what he's doing, like, as plain as day. But sadly, the Hawks can't stop it at all because they're just not physical enough. And, you know, Collins is gone. Like, that's huge, so.
No, for sure. Let's talk. I mean, obviously, I think the Sixers take this. Let's cross over in the West. Phoenix, New Orleans. They just lost Booker. This series just got really interesting.
Whoa.
Like, I don't know if the Pelicans have the consistency.
They do. Willie.
Bro, yeah, then you Willie's say it because I'm not ready.
No. Without Booker, the Pelicans are going to win because they're well coached and Brandon Ingram.
Stop.
Yeah, I'm saying it.
You're saying that confidently?
I'm saying it confidently. Yeah, without Booker. No, without Booker. Oh, no. but for real, without Booker, they're winning in six.
Oh, no.
The Pelicans are winning in six. And they just stole one.
Ayton did not look good. Ayton isn't looking like his good Ayton. There's good Ayton and then there's average Ayton. Average Ayton doesn't win in basketball games.
I'm sorry, man. Basketball has evolved to a point where the center has to be multifaceted.
And almost perfect. He can't turn the ball over. He can't. Like, he has to be efficient.
The center has to offer more than just blocking shots and making a layup here and there. I'm sorry. He has to have more of an impact in the game. He doesn't. And he can't guard their best player, so what good is he? Especially when the good player is shooting mid-range jump shots in Brandon Ingram. And I think, like I said, man, Coach Willie is doing an amazing job. Willie Green is amazing. Like, I'm so impressed with him. He's my favorite coach of the playoffs, ironically, because, you know, I don't like the Pelicans for a multitude of reasons. But I love him as a coach. I love what Brandon Ingram's doing. I love how he saw that Steven Adams wasn't a factor and just like that just took him out of the equation. When you see coaches make moves like that and then the players just move with the moves, like, seamlessly, that is something I noticed, like, and I think he's an amazing coach. So I think, but, you know, Monty's a great coach too. No shade to Monty. So that's why I said it's going to be a good series. But without Booker, I don't see it because they don't match up well against Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, no, that's real. I can't say. I'm still going to pick the Suns. This is one to watch, man. If Brandon Ingram, this could be Brandon Ingram's coming out party, the one we've been waiting for 5 years.
Also, it's also for Chris Paul, for CP3, man. I know he's 36. Side note, he's the reason why I know I'm old, because he's my age, and they're talking about him like he's the oldest starter. It's hilarious, because he is the oldest starter in the playoffs.
He's 37, isn't he?
36. He's going to be is his birthday in March or May?
I think it's 37.
No, it is. If his birthday's in March, it is. Because he's born in 85.
Yeah, I think
whenever his birthday is, because this is the year is 37. We're the same age. So whenever I hear Chris Paul, I'm like, I'm old. But no matter what, it all falls on Chris Paul because, you know, it just does.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk about Memphis and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been all over this Minnesota youngin team. I love it. I've been all over it. I really like them a lot.
So much irony in this matchup because you love both these teams for different reasons.
I do. I think the Memphis is the best young team in the NBA.
Yep.
And Minnesota, though, I think they came in just feeling themselves after that play-in tourney. It's been a long time. Cue the Sam Cooke. Change is coming. They're on the way. It's been a long. But I think we came back to earth game two. I think we saw who the Memphis has been all year and how the rest of the series is going to go. I would be surprised if they don't win another game.
Sadly, I agree with you. But also, I feel like a coach should really have the fortitude just to bench Patrick Beverley. Because this antics is not going to work against this Memphis Grizzlies team.
No. Because like these youngins have no fear in their heart.
No, Memphis in general don't got fear because of Ja Morant. They don't got no fear. So because the only thing that really makes Patrick Beverley worthwhile is his antics and his attitude and the way he approaches games. But In this game, you got to have actual skill. You got to actually play basketball.
Yeah.
And he's just not the best on that team. I feel as though they can bring out a better roster, a better starting five to really combat like the Memphis starting five. But we'll see, man. They're going to Memphis. I mean, at the end of the day, Timberwolves did what they were supposed to do. The Timberwolves got one in Memphis. They just got to handle their business at home now, and they can win.
No, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I don't think there's much more to talk about in that series, except Anthony Edwards is my second favorite player in the league now to watch.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, man, about that, because you've been saying that for a while now, for a couple of weeks now.
You just see it, man. You see it. It's about to rip out. Once he finds the night tonight, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. He's one of the most athletic dudes in the league. He's got a streaky three-point shot, but the shot is there. He can dunk over anyone in the league. Like, oh, get excited. Get excited, bro. He's almost there. I think next year, if he puts in a hard off-season work, next year, coming out party.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll co-sign that.
Mm-hmm. Once again, and I think it's because we're seeing it again and again. He's a guy, he started basketball late. Like, he was a football guy.
Yeah.
And we're seeing him like he wasn't AAU, you know, born and bred and raised. And we're seeing a more original game. I think AAU gets you but so far. Eventually, you got to come out that shell, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. That's another conversation we talk about all the time about the fact that the four best players in the world are not American. They're not American born or not from the United States. I think it's because they're not from that AAU circuit. Because the AAU circuit just kind of manufactures kids in like a factory. The kids come out the same. The kids come out with the same skills, same thought pattern, the same flaws in a sense. Whereas the kids from overseas, they get exposed to all types of basketball, but at the same time still keep their originality, which I think is very important. So that's why the four best players in the world right now are, you know, people that are American born. This is quite sad, actually.
Let's talk about the Nuggets and the Warriors. I mean, this series is what it is. When you just have Jokic, the Warriors looking great. Looking like the old Warriors. They're giving us a real tease this round, but also I don't think we realize the Nuggets literally just have Jokic.
Oh, yeah.
They're missing their second and third best players.
Yeah, and respectfully, he's doing great by himself.
He's doing great. Yeah. This is how far you get when it's just you.
Yes. And he scores pretty consistently.
Pretty consistently. Stop.
I mean, he went 9 for 20.
When it's just him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just being objective.
Man,
I'm just saying.
Knocking this man like you at the bar trying to put him on your level.
I mean, to be honest, what this first round is to also show me that 1A is really Joel Embiid and 1B, or even, dare I say 2, is Joker.
Stop, Mel. He's got Maxie and James Harden.
James Harden not playing well. Max is playing.
He had no turnovers and 14 assists in game one.
We're arguing over a slight
thing. We're not arguing. You're delusional. That's what you're doing.
You're delusional. I'm taking that, too. I mean, again, I'm not really going to argue with you.
Tyrese Maxey is dropping 30 a game.
I mean, yeah, because all the attention is not on him. All the attention is on Joel.
But all the – okay, so use that same argument when he doesn't have those two guys.
I mean, okay, I just don't see what the – again, Joker is an amazing player.
You're a hater. That's what you are.
Not a hater. I'm just looking at things as they are. I think
– You're a hater. It's okay.
Yeah.
Just come to terms.
No, I'm really trying to – I'm pausing right now for thought because I love Joker. I think Joker's amazing. I think Joker has also proven that players like Larry Bird would be amazing in this time period because he can just control his time. He can control his own pace. control, just the way the game moves, the
totally.
The IQ
like Joel does, yeah.
Joel's amazing, though, because I'm talking about skill-wise, he's probably the most skilled center since Hakeem Olajuwon.
I mean, if you want to be real, the most skilled center isn't Joker.
No.
100%. We're talking about skill, not athleticism.
I think Joker is the greatest passer of all time.
He's a better shooter than Joel, too.
They're about the same?
No.
You think Joker's better?
100%. Joel is twice as athletic.
We'll put a pin in that arc. I'm actually going to look at film.
All
right. I'm really going to look at film. But I'll concede for right now because I can't really prove. I can't.
Your hater bat cave and go have a nice.
Yeah, long I will. Sit. I will. I actually will. But you got some of the great ball handling skills, dominant on the post. You got someone who's like almost as dominant as Shaquille O'Neal on the post. Got great post moves, great fadeaway shot scoring wise. Defensively, significantly better than Joker. So yeah, I mean, it's not going out of my way to say that Embiid is better than Joker. I just think the only thing Joker has over Embiid is basically his passing.
Nah.
And maybe ball, and maybe game control, maybe
you're wrong. Pace. The touch around the basket, like you're just it's such an insult what you're saying right now. It's unbelievable.
That's really not.
And it really is.
I'm really going to look at some.
Yo, if Joel Embiid had the same body as Joker, he would be half the player.
Well, yeah.
Then that should answer your question right there. Who's more skilled?
Well, actually, maybe not.
No, you already said it, bro. Come on.
Now that I think about it, because if anything, if he was smaller, he'd probably be doing more guard-type moves.
Oh, my God, dude. You're insane. You're absolutely insane. You don't want to say it. It's okay. You're a hater.
Nah, man. Joker's amazing, man. I think Joker and Embiid are already top 10 greatest centers of all time. Joker may be already top 5 greatest centers of all time.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
We're gonna real talk, not to totally contradict myself, but I think on the hierarchy of the greatest centers of all time, as of right now, I do have Joker ahead of.
Yeah, because he's gonna win back to back MVPs, so you're not stupid.
He's about to win another MVP.
You just don't want to believe it. That's why you say it. It's an insult.
No, I just think that Embiid is also battles of injuries. He also is an ass to
So do we're not Joker giving does. Joker credit for staying healthy now? You're using it as an excuse?
No, but that's why Joker's ahead of him in the hierarchy of all time. I'm talking about right now, this moment.
This moment, I'm still, if I had to pick, I'm taking the Joker. Makes everyone around him better.
And I'm really just quiet and pauses. I'm really thinking about it. I see your point. I'm not honestly.
And here's the thing. I love Joel Embiid. I think Joel Embiid is incredible.
But my question to you is, are you saying that Joel Embiid is like 1B, or you're saying he's second?
1B.
Okay. So the argument is basically that.
They're close. Like right there, but I'm Joker.
You got Joker 1A. I got Embiid 1A just for different reasons. But
It's 2, really. I'm just saying that for you.
Oh shoot. I knew it. I know you so well. That's why I asked that question. I know you so well. Yeah, nah.
All right, we talked too much.
Yeah, too much. Entirely too much.
Jordan Poole's amazing.
Yes.
More at 11.
Yeah.
Dallas Mavericks and Utah Jazz. Luka Doncic is probably going to miss game 3, but the fact that the Mavs stole game 2, I think
that's big. It's big.
Jalen Brunson, man. Put it on his back.
Jason Kidd is...
Get off me.
Well, that's one thing I'm getting from these playoffs. There's a lot of things I'm getting from the playoffs. I think I thought I told you, like, off air, like, basically, I saw that we're old now, or myself. I saw that I'm old. I saw that... But the main thing I've really seen is coaching makes a difference.
Yeah.
And a lot of great coaches are really showing me some great things. Even Doc Rivers, who I despise, has shown some very great moments in the playoffs, whereas Steve Nash has looked terrible. But back to what we're talking about now, I just feel like obviously Steve Kerr not Steve, I'm so sorry, not Steve Kerr, but Steve Kerr also been doing an amazing job. But with the Mavs, Jason Kidd is doing an amazing job. Obviously, with the Jazz coach, he's been doing a great job. And for the Mavs to steal a game, like a game, and then, you know, as you know, Luka's going to come back.
Yeah. If they could steal this game,
very
impressive. Watch out for the Mavs moving on in the playoffs here. If Luka comes back and he's healthy and they're clicking like this, I don't know. Might be a magical run in store. Be interesting. Mm-hmm. Would they catch the Suns next round? I think they would. Suns without Devin Booker?
That's scary.
That's scary.
That's not good.
Right?
But like I said, I think the Pelicans are beating the Suns.
Yeah, we'll see more on that next episode. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for me and Mel this week. Thank you for tuning in. Love to know what you hear about the shooting guard, what you think about the shooting guards. We're going to try to get that clip up soon for Mel Taylor. I'm Woody Massey. We out.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of 5-2 Sports.